reading is in the book of Philemon. And we will pick up at verse 8. Philemon. And read through verse 21. Philemon. Verse 8. Verse 21. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the agent, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, or my heart, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willing. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldst receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee anything or aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand, I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord, for my heart. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. I trust this will be a blessing to our hearts as we look forward to what the Lord has for us in these verses. Let's look to him in prayer. Thank you, Father, that the privilege is ours to be here. We thank you for these who have come. We thank you for this place set aside to worship you. We thank you for your word, which endures forever. And it is important, it is relevant for our lives. And we thank you for what you want to teach us today. I pray that you would be glorified in each of our lives, in the way we respond, in the way we listen. May we not just sit here occupy a seat calmly for the next few moments, but may our hearts truly be open to what you have. I pray your Holy Spirit, who indwells each child of yours, would have the freedom to use your word to speak to us, to teach us, to show us how it applies and the glory you can get from it in our lives. We thank you again that we have this place. We thank you for this day. And as we look forward to closing our service in remembrance of the sacrifice that our Savior paid in our behalf, may our hearts be prepared for that as well. We'll do this in your name. Amen. And you may be seated. Open your Bibles again, if you would, to the portion which we read. We'll not really take all of those verses. We actually looked at verses 8 through 14 last week. But I wanted to read them this morning just to bring us up to speed in where we were at and where we had left off. Life are changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Onesimus had fled from Philemon, his owner, and had become a believer in Christ. This letter is an appeal by the Apostle Paul for Philemon, Onesimus' owner, to welcome him back. We saw last week in verse 8 that Paul had avoided exercising authority as an apostle of the Lord, and so he, rather than just commanding or ordering you to do what is convenient or the right thing or what would be fitting, instead, in verse 9, he had made a twofold appeal in that verse to Philemon's heart on the basis of love. He said, for love's sake, I rather beseech you, being such an one as Paul the aged, the old man, and now also I'm a prisoner for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find in verse 10, he had informed Philemon that he had had the privilege of introducing Onesimus to the Lord Jesus Christ while in prison there in Rome. And now that Onesimus is a believer in Christ, Paul is hopeful that Philemon, who is also a believer in Christ, will receive him back the same way and welcome would be given to him as if Paul himself showed up at Philemon's door. And so we saw that portion of the appeal that was made last week, and the appeal continues today as we want to pick up beginning at verse 15 through verse 21. For you note takers, let's notice number one, a possibility suggested in verses 15 and 16. A possibility suggested to soften what very well could be Philemon's attitude towards Philemon, which might not have been the best. After all, Onesimus was the property of Philemon, servant slash slave, and Philemon had escaped, Onesimus had escaped from this believer whose name was Philemon. And John was telling us this morning in our Sunday school lesson in James. Sometimes we might be very successful in keeping our mouth shut and not saying words that would cause problems, but our attitude in our hearts might not quite be right. The old saying is, don't give a person a penny for their thoughts. Just because they're not saying anything doesn't mean that their thoughts might not be racing with attitudes that are not right. And to perhaps soften Philemon's attitude that he might have toward Onesimus, Paul suggests a possibility or a probability of the overruling hand of God in this whole thing that had occurred with Onesimus. That's what he suggests here in verses 15 and 16. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season that you should receive him forever. Not just as a servant, but more than that, a brother, beloved, especially to me, and how much more to you both in the flesh and in the Lord. He uses this word perhaps, perhaps in verse 15. We find he uses this because so many times God's purposes and God's workings are veiled to men. And even the Apostle Paul himself would not be so bold as to just come right out and say, well, Philemon, this was God's hand at work here, so you let him back and you welcome him as a believer. Paul instead runs it by Philemon, as Philemon would be reading this letter. Another possibility. Consider this, Philemon. It might be the hand of God was in all of this when Onesimus left. Maybe this was God orchestrating it all with Philemon's departure. Us, our paths crossing in Rome, me being able to share the gospel with him, and ultimately him accepting the Lord and him becoming a believer. Paul would not be so bold to say, I'm convinced it was God's providential hand in all of this. But he says, why don't you consider that, Philemon? That might possibly be the reason he left you in the first place, because of God's plan and God's purpose for his life. Now the outcome does seem to warrant the suggestion that Paul offered, doesn't it? I mean, after all, Onesimus had accepted the Lord as his Savior. Isn't that going to bring glory to the Lord? Of course it would. Did it all work out by God's providential hand and direction? Was God moving Onesimus? We can't say. But we find there are times for sure when God's hand is definitely at work behind the scenes in some of the more unpleasant things that may have happened. For instance, turn if you would to Psalm 105. And we pick up at verse 16. And it says, moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. You know the story, don't you? We remember the story of Joseph. Well, the psalmist is saying that ill treatment, the conflict that Joseph had with his brothers, the fact that they looked upon him with hatred in their hearts because Joseph was daddy's favorite and had even had that coat of many colors especially made for the favorite son, and how that all turned out is one of his brothers wanted to kill him, and instead another one said, no, let's not kill him, let's just ultimately let's sell him to these the train of the caravan of people who were headed toward Egypt, and they sold him. Let's not kill him, let's at least sell him, and we'll get a little pocket change for him anyway as we split up the money. And all that happened to him, put yourself in Joseph's place. Why is this happening to me? How come God isn't caring for me? Why is God letting this happen to me? You remember when their father died years later, when the children of Israel had moved to Egypt because of the famine, and for a few years their dad lived, but when he died, the brothers, with guilt in their hearts, were fearful that Joseph, now that dad is gone, is going to get revenge. He's probably just been waiting for dad to die, and now we're going to get it. You remember what Joseph told his brothers when they were fearful to come into his presence in Genesis 45, verse 5, he told them this, now, therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. Yeah, it was their doing. It was their hands. Joseph goes on, for God did send me before you to preserve life. That's exactly what the psalmist said in Psalm 105. God sent a man before his people Israel. It wasn't a pleasant experience for Joseph, but God had done a work in Joseph's heart in the years that he had been here. There was no animosity in his heart toward his brothers. And he said, don't be afraid. God put me here. There's only 2 years of famine so far, and there's 5 more yet to come. Don't be beating yourselves up for the way things turned out when we were growing up. Now that's exactly what Paul is suggesting to Philemon as he sends this runaway back to Philemon. He's making the suggestion here in verses 15 and 16. Philemon, just stop and think for a minute. What if what happened was all by God's design, and Onesimus really didn't have anything against you. God put it in his heart to run away and now I'm sending him back a changed man. For you see, when a person accepts the Lord as their own personal Savior, there are lasting differences in Christ. So, that's the first thing that we see as he continues his appeal. A possibility is suggested in verse 15 and 16. But in verse 17, number 2, we notice the heart of Paul's appeal. At this point, we get the gist of Paul's letter comes out in this 17th verse. And he says this, "If you count me therefore a partner, receive him as you would receive me." This word partner, I looked at that and I thought, well, why did Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, pick up this word partner? What is that suggesting? The word means associate, comrade, companion, or partner. What could Paul be referring to when he in verse 17 says, "Philemon, if you consider me a companion, a comrade, a partner, in what?" F.F. Bruce says this, "Paul and Philemon were partners in this at least, that they shared the same fellowship of grace and faith. And this fellowship had recently made room for Onesimus." Onesimus was now a member of Paul's circle of friends. And apparently, the partnership between Paul and Philemon was not simply a matter of just being fellow Christians. Why do we say that? Do you remember how Paul addressed Philemon in verse 1? As we started out, he referred to Philemon not only as dearly beloved, but he also referred to him as what? A fellow laborer. He was a fellow worker. We don't know the details, but Mr. Bruce suggests he was probably involved in some aspect, somehow, some way, of the Apostle Paul. Because Paul referred to him as a fellow laborer. On the strength of that partnership, here in verse 17, Paul asks Philemon to welcome Onesimus. Whatever share Philemon had taken in Paul's ministry, which enabled him to be referred to as a fellow laborer, Onesimus also had begun to make a valued contribution to Paul's ministry. Remember, we saw that back in verse 11, when Paul had said in verse 10, "He's my son whom I have begotten in my bonds, I have led him in the Lord, and he is now very profitable to me," Paul said. And in verse 13 we saw last week, Paul said, "If you want to know the truth of the matter, I really would have loved to have just kept him with me because he is so valuable an asset in my ministry here. But I wasn't going to do that without your permission. So I am sending him back." But as we look at this, Philemon, because of what Paul is, the designation that he had referred to Philemon in verse 17, when he said, if you count me as a partner, receive him, the same as if I would unexpectedly show up at your door. For you see, from the fact that now Onesimus was a believer, Paul is suggesting that Philemon and Onesimus must look on each other as partners in the work of Christ. They both serve the same Lord. They both are a child of the King. And Paul is appealing to Philemon to receive him. Receive him. Now, that word receive, this is the third time Paul has used that in our English translation. He uses it in verse 12 when he first said, I'm sending him again that you might receive him, that is my own heart. He used it in verse 15. He departed, perhaps this was the Lord's will, that he depart for a while so that you would receive him forever. And now in verse 17, he uses that word again. Actually, we're told this is two different words translated receive in our English language. Verse 12 and verse 17 is the same one. Verse 15 is a different one. The one in verse 15, when he says, maybe he parted for a season, that you should receive him forever. This means to receive wholly or fully. To receive him wholly or fully. Well, what does the one in 12 and 17 mean? When he said, I'm sending so that you'll receive him. In verse 17, if you count me a partner, receive him as myself. The interesting thing is that this different one means to take or to receive into one's home with the collateral idea of kindness to them. What Paul is asking Philemon to do is not only in verse 15 accept him wholly, but in verse 12 and verse 17 he says, I'm asking that you just throw open your arms and open the door and bring him back into your home. That's what I'm asking. Well, Philemon, Onesimus most likely did in Philemon's home in the past before he ran away. But am I going to let him back now? Am I going to? He blew it. He had it good and he ran away. But Paul is asking, I'm asking him that you open up your home. Open up your home. Now that he's one of us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, after we've seen the heart of Paul's appeal in verse 17, we move on thirdly to an offer made in verses 18 and 19. An offer is made. In verse 18, he says, if he hath wronged me, or oweth me aught, or anything, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit or besides the fact, I do not say to you how you owe unto me even your own self besides. We'll look at that and see what Paul is getting at. What is the offer that Paul has made here in verse 18 and 19? Paul mentioned here in verse 18 to Philemon the solution to what might have been Philemon's final obstacle to welcome Onesimus back. Well, what would that final obstacle be? Well, he stole from me. He owes me. I've lost money. And Paul offers a solution. If this obstacle is still holding you, keeping you, Philemon, from welcoming Onesimus back, I'll take care of that. Don't worry about this last obstacle. The debt that Onesimus might owe Philemon. And this is something that Bible scholars, they can't say with certainty. They can't be dogmatic on it. Just Paul's words here is what puts the idea in Bible scholars' minds that he must have stolen something from Philemon because of Paul's words to him when he says, if he has wronged you or he owes you anything. That's as dogmatic as a person can get. You can't say for certain, well, he stole 367 pieces of silver, and Paul is offering them. We don't know. We don't know. But this is what lends the idea and the thought that it seems like Onesimus had taken something from Philemon and had run away. And now that he's a believer in Christ, Paul is making an offer to his owner. If he owes you a debt, he can't pay it. But I would be more than willing to take care of his debt, whatever that might be. As we stop and think about this, do you realize that that is a beautiful picture of what our Savior did for us on the cross? There's a beautiful word which is used to describe that, and it is imputation. Our Lord was sent to this earth to pay a debt of a whole human race who could not pay in any way the debt they owed. The soul that sinneth, it shall what? Die. If you obey every point of the law except one, you're guilty of what? Breaking them all, beloved. Romans, Paul said, sin paid good wages. That's all the talk this day and age is about wages. Sin paid good wages. Gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But the wages of sin is death. Could you pay the
debt that you owed and I owed, could I pay for the sin that I had committed and the sin of which I was guilty that bore with it? You're going to have to pay with death. The Father sent the Son to be what? The Savior of the world. And He sent His Son to take your debt, your sin, and mine, and pay our debt to the Father. He paid it all. And that's exactly what the Lord did actually, and that is exactly what is pictured here, what Paul is offering to Philemon. Arnold Gabelheim says this: the word impute is used in Romans chapter 5, verse 13. How blessedly this illustrates the gospel. Indeed, this epistle to Philemon is a perfect and practical illustration of the gospel of grace. The gospel that Paul preached, and which is unfolded in the larger epistles. What the gospel does for the poor slave of sin, how he becomes a son and a brother, profitable instead of unprofitable, a member of the body of Christ, may be traced in these verses. If he's wronged you, if he owes anything, put that on my account. And that's what our Savior did for us. What a blessing that we have in just a few moments the opportunity to gather around these elements which remind us of the great price that was paid for your salvation and mine. We had a debt we couldn't pay. There we were hopeless until the Father sent His Son. And the Lord Jesus Christ willingly said, "Jerry, I'll die for your sin. I'll pay your price. And you can put your name in there because He did that willingly for you and for me." How grateful we are for the gift of grace. We didn't deserve it. We didn't. It wasn't something that we had a right to, but the Father loved us so much, He sent His Son, who was willing to take the charges and put it on His account, just like Paul said to Philemon, "If He owes you anything, I'll take it. I will take care of it." Paul assured Philemon that he paid in full, reminding Philemon, kind of as a pass in the way he ends there in verse 19, almost one of those kind of tongue-in-cheek things, albeit, or it goes without saying, I often hear people say that, and they think they're slipping something under the counter underhandedly, and I said, "You're saying it. Don't say it goes without saying. You are saying it right here." And Paul, as he was talking about, I will certainly pay any debt that Onesimus owes you, he said, "The truth of the matter is, Philemon, you owe me even your own self besides." What's he referring to? Paul had led Philemon to the Lord. what's that worth? If you're going to repay somebody, the person who led you to the Lord, I'd like to repay you. I'd like to just repay you for bringing the gospel to me. What is your soul worth? It's priceless, isn't it? You can't put a price on it. And Paul said, I'll be happy to pay you anything Onesimus took. But he said, truth of the matter is, you owe me your life, because in the past, I introduced you to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are a believer. You are a child of God because of what happened in the past. As we think of this, we notice Paul moves on from the offer made in verses 18 and 19 to in verse 20, number 4, for you note takers, the desire is expressed. A desire is expressed in verse 20 when he says, hey brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord, refresh my heart or my bowels in the Lord. In verse 20, we see Paul's heart as he makes his final appeal. Let me have joy of you in the Lord. This word joy, it's an interesting one because it means to receive profit or advantage. Let me have profit or advantage of you in the Lord. Paul is saying, I'm looking for something from you. And he said, and it's in the Lord. It's in the realm of what you ought to be doing and is what the Lord would have you to do. And he says, I'm trusting that you're going to work things out to my advantage so that my heart, is refreshed in the Lord. Did you notice, and did you remember in verse 7 a couple of weeks ago, Paul had said one of the things that we are thankful for, we rejoice because we have heard, verse 5, of your testimony and how you're serving the Lord, and the end of verse 7, because the bowels are the hearts of the saints. You are a refreshment. You are an encouragement. You are a blessing to other believers, Philemon. And he closes here. He expresses this desire. I'm hoping that you are going to profit me, or my heart will be advantaged the same way with you doing the right thing. And it being a blessing, a refreshment to me. Finally, we see in verse 21, number 5, the outcome expected. The outcome expected. And as I look at this, I think the words, as Paul was winding down his appeal, and all that's left is his closing comments from the remaining verses on. But look at the words of confidence the outcome he expected. Having confidence. Confidence. He uses confidence. He uses, secondly, the word, I'm confident of your obedience. Number 2. Thirdly, knowing that you're going to do more than I've even suggested. The outcome that Paul expected. He expected that Philemon was going to do what Paul was going to ask him to do, or had asked him in this letter, and that Philemon was even going to go above and beyond. Well, how did it turn out?
Pastor.
We can only surmise what Philemon's response was. We cannot go through the history books and see on AD such and such a date, Philemon of Colossae welcomed back into his home Onesimus, the one who had been a runaway slave. Onesimus, we're told, was a common name in church history. And the truth of the matter is, we can't document and say, here's exactly what Philemon did. He did exactly what Paul was asking him to do. We can only surmise. And like someone said, one of the things that adds to our kind of assuming that Philemon did it is that this letter wasn't read by Philemon, ripped up or wadded up and thrown away, but over 2,000 years from the time that Paul sent it to him, we still have the letter that Paul wrote. That speaks highly. I wonder what Philemon thought about that. I wonder what he did. Probably did, but we can't be sure. What a blessing to look at this as we think of the verses that we looked at today. As we've seen through the ages, or pardon me, through the eyes of maybe the Lord was the explanation of why Onesimus did what he did. Could be. Very well could be. Certainly God used it to his glory. Whether the Lord orchestrated it or not, we don't know. Look at verse 18. If he owes you, put that on my account. For the fact that thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I are accepted in the Beloved. We are accepted because our Savior was willing to pay the debt you and I owe. And then the example of what is ours through the riches of Christ, the fellowship, the blessing, the welcome, welcome even into one's home, and the fellowship of those of like faith. Let's close in prayer as we think of these verses this morning, as we look, as Paul was writing, for the sake of another, shall we pray. Thank you, Father, that we have this opportunity to thank you for what this little epistle holds. No, we don't find doctrine taught there, but we certainly find biblical truth portrayed. And what a blessing that 18th and 19th verse was this morning as we think about what your Son, our Savior, did in our behalf. So willingly, he paid the price that we couldn't pay. He cleared the debt that we owed, and it satisfied you, the Heavenly Father, the one with whom we have to deal. Pray now as we gather around these elements that you would bless our hearts as we do this in remembrance of your Son, our Savior.